The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hi, this is James from Harm's Way, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareen, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a harmful for normies episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 490. Holy jeez. And I'm Snowy White.
Holy jeez, this is Rock.
And this is Aaron. And now a word from our sponsor.
Arise from the depths of the northern darkness and thaw your frostbitten goblet with the purest, most brutal cup of coffee you've ever had. True cold coffee.
True Cult Coffee is a fresh medium roast made from high-quality Arabica beans hailing from the land of El Salvador, perfect for any time of day, anywhere, even during a sacrificial ritual, or possibly reading, what was the book you just said earlier, Lords of Chaos?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Yeah, I'm thinking like that this is the perfect cup of coffee to drink while you read that book, you know?
And the movie's coming out sometime soon.
I know, yeah. So you put it in a thermos, you smuggle it in, right? Because, I mean, we're metalheads. We do things a little nefarious every now and then.
Well, no. You make yourself a church burner, and then you put it in your thermos.
See? There you go. And for those of you who don't remember what the church burner is to give you that extra get up and go. So you're going to add a tablespoon of butter to your coffee, your black True Cold coffee, and then cardamom and honey to taste. Sweeten it up a little bit, and you're ready to, like, you know, go for an all-nighter here and do some serious damage. To get your True Cult coffee, though, you do have to go to trvekvltcoffee.com. Check them out at Facebook and Twitter at trvekvltcoffee. And then on Instagram, which is where I have the most interaction with Coffee Bean Occulta. And that is trve.kvlt.coffee. For our listeners, our dear beloved listeners, you can get a 6.66%. Please tell me somebody's figured that one out by now, right?
6.66%. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, I know we have. That was kind of like a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge for the listeners. Off of one bag. So get your 6.66% off one bag. And here's my little call out to the listeners. Listeners, dear listeners. Come on, man. You break my concentration.
Sorry. I'm trying not to laugh.
Ready? No, it's good. I'm trying to be a little humorous. No, it's good. So, dear listeners. If you love Radioactive Metal, right, as we love bringing you this content, because we do, like we do this because we love it, take a moment, buy some coffee from True Cult Coffee. Go to our Facebook page. Click on the Amazon banner that we have pinned to the top of that post. If you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, use that link. It kicks us a few cents, helps keep the lights on here. But if you love Radioactive Metal, the way that we love you, well, then support our sponsors, because those sponsors love Radioactive Metal and want to keep bringing it to you.
Exactly.
So that's like love paying it forward.
I love you.
Enough with our sponsorships. Snowy, what's going on?
Hi. Snowy got my reference right there.
I did. Yeah.
Right past my head. No idea.
When you're talking about sponsorships and all that, it just made me think that, okay, yeah, we don't have a lot of them. We never really had very many of them. It's just because, like, I listen to a metric shit ton of podcasts. I don't even listen, like I barely watch this, like, the regular Idiot Box, right? All my entertainment comes from various different podcasts. And there's a lot of sponsors and advertisements, and it's just like they're just trying to sell us some of this stuff that has, like, no connection to the show at all. Like, I don't want to listen to some 70-year-old man sell me his underwear. Like, fuck.
Do you have mesothelioma? Well, call blah 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 lawyers and blah blah blah.
It's like, oh god,
and MeUndies.
Yeah, that's just it. I don't need like a 70-year-old man, tell me about his underwear. You know?
What,
like,
you don't want Blue Apron as our sponsor?
No, like, so, and that's the thing. Is, like, True Cult makes sense. Like, this is the first sponsor. It's great to have a sponsor for the show, but it's the first sponsor that's really even made sense. Like, of things we've talked about, like, you know, if Pillsbury wanted to come to us, I mean, they're probably going to offer a lot of money, so it'd be tempting. But Pillsbury is not the same as True Cult Coffee. You know,
well,
like,
of course.
Another sponsor that makes sense, and hopefully somebody from there is listening, but Dragon's Milk Beer, right? The New Holland Brewing Company, that completely makes sense for this show. You know, any one of the Motorhead wines or liquors. Trooper Beer.
Unibrew, who does the Megadeth beer.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Have you guys ever tried that beer? Because I haven't been able to find a Megadeth beer yet, but I tried one of their other ones. Holy crap, was it good.
Aaron.
No, I don't know what it is with the liquor commission up here, because I can't find any of that stuff.
Well, okay. When, gosh, this we're talking about a year or two ago when Cataclysm was in town.
Yeah,
and you know, because they have their own beer.
Oh yeah.
We were talking. Me and Corinne were talking with Stefan, the bass player, and he was telling us they were, I think at that point they were still trying to get into the U.S. and getting it into Canada. He said it was even harder because Canada has very strict laws about food and drink before they let something come from a different country. So because it's brewed in Europe, so. So they have to do all these tests and stuff. And so sometimes it can take up to a year or even 2 years to get stuff approved, you know, by the I don't know what in Canada it is, but in the United States, it's the FDA, you know. So that's why, you know, so you'll have stuff, you know, in Europe. Hey, Trooper beer's everywhere. And here, well, you can barely get it. It's because, you know, it has to adhere to certain laws and stuff and content and all that.
Yeah, it's tough to get here, too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So here's my question, though. So Canada's really strict about things coming from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Level with me. Is that because all the French people are like, we're not letting this happen again?
Probably.
That was for Snowy. Cause that's like a Snowy joke. I can't believe he didn't jump in with that.
Yeah. It's just, I haven't thrown the Gorf thing at Rock in quite a while. I got to get back on.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you can get on the ball,
you've had so much fun.
Jesus.
You've had so much fun picking on me, though.
Well, that's true, too.
I've been such easy fodder lately.
Well, you know, and I kind of...
You make it easy.
I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah. Dude, just moving from Pittsburgh to the Carolinas, like that alone, like, come on. Jeez.
Oh, dude.
And to think you considered Tampa at some point.
I didn't.
Oh, see, don't tell me that.
You did not? I thought you did.
Well, so it was one of the available places, but it was quickly ruled out due to the hurricanes.
Well, hurricanes. You got hurricanes where you're at too, so.
Not as many. Like we when I looked at the top hurricane cities list, we didn't even make the top 50. I'm like, okay, I can handle that. Now, the irony is, like, we made that decision. No, it hadn't been a hurricane through here in years. And the last, what, 2-3 years now? Hurricane every freaking year.
Yeah, exactly.
That figures.
Just like when I first moved to Orlando, I think it was 4 years after we moved here, there had not been a hurricane that hit Orlando in 40 years. And since then, we've had 5 or 6. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So technically, I can blame you because they started there and they eventually just had to work their way up here.
I suppose.
Just the time.
Yeah. Sounds right. Sounds just about right. Oh man. All right. So let's move on.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. If everyone's doing well, no one's been taken away by a hurricane and all that.
You know. I'm the one who says let's move on, but then I just thought of something I wanted to tell you guys.
Well, all right then.
So everybody's noticed that Corrine is not with us here today. She's up at a wedding in Indiana and stuff, freezing her ass off. And but I saw her yesterday when I went to my final doctor's appointment at the office where she worked at. Because I don't remember how if you're a new listener or blah 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 whatever. She used to work at my endocrinologist's office. But they were shutting down the office because one of the doctors is going to Texas. So my doctor is staying in town, going to another practice. But yesterday was the very last day. So I get there, and normally there's maybe at the most one person in front of me, waiting at the counter. Usually there's nobody. I would get there, sign in, and shoot the shit with Corrine, and while she took my insurance information, and I paid her way too much money for doctor's appointment and stuff. But when I got there, there was like 2 people in front of me and 2 other people waiting. And it's like, wow, it's damn, I guess. And when it got to my turn, I kind of laughingly said, well, I guess everybody's rushing to get their last appointment in before you guys close. And she looks at me. She's like, oh, don't even get me started. And I'm like, what's wrong? It's like, people are so rude today. I mean, people are yelling at me. They're swearing at me. I'm like, why? You're not the one closing the office. It's not your fault. And she's like, I know, but they're taking it out on me. And people were just being rude to her. And you could tell. I mean, I've known her for a few years now. We hung out quite often. I've never seen her grumpy like this. She was grumpy. She was just grumpy. And I was like, okay, wow. This is the first time I see you like this. You know? Mm-hmm. And she was
It's tough, man.
Yeah, because people are just taking it out on her and stuff. And she said, I'm so past it now that if they're being rude to me, I'm being rude back. I don't care because she's going to work at a different doctor's office in a different city. So she won't see these people again, these patients. So she did not care. But then, we're kind of talking and stuff because – it's the last day, and I could tell there wasn't a whole lot of people in front of me waiting in the waiting room. So I was just talking to her and stuff. And the funny thing is that the nurse who works with my doctor, she sees me. She says, "Hey, Rock, it's your turn. Come on back." So I say, okay. So I go out back, and she says, "Do you know Corrine?" I'm like, "Yeah, she's like one of my best buds." She's like, "Really?" She says, "Have you seen her website?"
Cool.
I'm like, she's like, I don't listen to that kind of music, just rarely. Now, mind you, okay, this woman is an African American woman, maybe about my age. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, no shit, you don't listen to that.
Well, yeah,
not to be. That's just,
play the odds.
She's like, once in a while, I was like, hey, to each their own, So and then we're, she takes me out back, takes my pressure, and we're talking, to weighing me and all that. And, we're kind of talking about Corrine's love of heavy metal and stuff. And then, kind of shooting the shit because, this woman is also leaving to go with the doctor to a different office. So we're kind of talking about all that. So she gets done with me. And as soon as she walked out, my doctor walked in, which is very rare. You could tell it was the last day because usually it takes a good half hour after I'm done with the nurse to see my doctor. So, but she walks right in, and then, we're kind of talking and stuff, and then she's telling me, yeah, I'm sure you've heard about what's going on. I said, yeah, I said, Corrine told me about it. She's like, oh, you know Corrine? I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, yeah, I think I've told you this a couple times before, but.
That's hysterical.
And then she goes, oh, did you see her website?
Amazing.
She is pushing this website, guys. She is so proud of this website.
And that would be loudandfierce.com.
If right now, as she's adding shows, I think she's expanding to all of Florida right now, but she's basically a website to go check out to find shows in your area, concerts and stuff. But yeah, the doctor's like, I didn't even know she was into heavy metal. I said, oh, doctor, she's into some gnarly stuff. She's like, listen, some really underground stuff, some really heavy stuff. I said, I go with her to concerts all the time, her and her boyfriend. And she's like, really? Oh, my God, I had no idea. I'm like, I've told you this before. But okay.
That's so funny.
They
probably didn't believe it, though, because, I mean, like, we've had this conversation before that people are going to look at Corrine. She's going to say, yeah, I like heavy metal. And they're probably thinking, oh, she likes Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Or Eagles of Death Metal, right? You know, that kind of thing. But until you see like the website that she's doing, you're like, oh crap, oh wow, really? You know, because neither one of them look like any sort of stereotypical metalhead remotely. You know, no crazy visible tattoos, no crazy visible piercings, like any of that stuff. I mean, like I think I told you guys a story that, you know, people always peg me for like a country fan.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, that's painful. You know, like that's just downright insulting.
I don't say mean things about you.
Exactly. Right.
Right. But, one last thing before we move on to the metal fix. So the doctor, you know, we're talking about, you know, my diabetes and all that. And she gets up to, you know, to listen to my chest, you know, and all that. And she says, I like Metallica. And she goes, but isn't that like just hard rock? I'm like, whoa.
Okay. Oh,
for fuck's sake.
I'm like, no, that's it's metal. It's metal. That's... She's like, but that's probably too light for you. I'm like, no, I enjoy it. Yeah, so I just had to bring in the M word to.
Well, I was just going to ask, so how many episodes in a row is this where we've mentioned Metallica now?
Okay, we can talk about Metallica all we want. It's just when Aaron, when that's the only thing that you talk about 3-4 episodes in a row, then I start to clench my fist.
God, I can't wait for this week's metal face.
I know, like now I feel like the need to purposely have a Metallica metal fix for like the next for like the next year, you know, so like 50
episodes. That's spite. That doesn't count. Spite doesn't count.
That's not spite, that's a goal.
Spite
would be like if I like if I didn't like you and I was doing it to like just purposely piss you off. This is just so I can be an annoying jerk. That's totally different.
This is to get back to you, Snowy, for all the backwoods jokes you're making.
Oh, that'll never stop.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. So the Metallica references will never stop.
I know.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, just as long as he's talking about half decent Metallica, not this broad at Crean's work, where it's like, yeah, I like Sandman.
Broad, it's you know friggin' doctor.
for the next 20 episodes, I will only talk about Load and Reload.
That's spiteful. That is spiteful.
Yeah,
I could do that because I don't even like to recognize those albums as canon. So
there you go.
I'm the same way. Well, here, let's start talking about some real metal now.
Thank you, back. So chill out, grab a tin, and enjoy the banter on Metal Fix.
Okay, who wants to talk about what they did, when, and to who, and how often?
Ooh, well, can I? Ooh. Oh, no, go ahead, Rock.
No, I was just going to say, I listened to Metallica all week. I'm just kidding. Aaron, go ahead. You wanted to start. Go ahead.
All right, so check it out. So last week, part of Rock's Metal Fix was talking about I almost said The Rock, but it's not The Rock.
You can call me The Rock.
Don't do it. Hang on. Winnipeg, wrestler. Don't say anything. I can do it. Fozzie. Jericho. Chris Jericho. Oh. Talk is Jericho.
Wow. Good.
So you're talking about the Talk is Jericho podcast and told me to go check out the Bruce Dickinson episode.
Yes.
So I did. Uh-huh. And literally right after we recorded that episode, I happened to be at Barnes & Noble with the family, family trip, and I'm just perusing the music books section. Staring at me from the shelf is the Bruce Dickinson book, Bruce Dickinson autobiography, and it just happens to be a signed copy from the publisher. It was the only one like it in the store. So I picked it up.
That's really cool, though.
Yeah, I was really excited.
Man. And you said you said it was the same price?
Yeah, exact same price. Because that's what I checked. I'm like, is this any different? Nope, exact same price. And it had a little sticker on it, says signed copy. And there's actually, here's what's kind of cool, is like I flipped it open and there's a smudge on the page before you get to the signature. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like that's probably from his hand from signing all the books. So it's like an actual, like an ink smudge, you know, like when you've been signing a lot. I'm like, oh, this is so
I don't know about that, because have you ever seen how they do those book signings? Normally what it is that they just get sent pages, blank pages. Or if it's on a page that like that has like the title of the book, they just get sent that one page, and then they sign a stack of those, and then they send it back to the publisher, and then those get inserted in the in the actual book. So I don't know, it may be a smudge from the person before you who looked at it.
All right, well, bummer then. And I'm only going from Lita Ford's signed copies, because she actually had pictures of her surrounded by books signing each one individual.
Well, then that could be the case too. I know that in certain cases when it's a lot of copies, maybe if he's only signing, you know, 200-300 copies, maybe it's different. But I know that when they signed like 1,000 copies, they just get sent the one page and they sign the page.
Oh, that totally makes sense. All right, well, bummer. What I now have to look it up and find out. But yeah. I'm still excited. I haven't read the book yet. But I got it. It's in my queue. But with metal books, I started reading Gene Simmons, the book I was talking about one or two metal fixes ago, the Gene Simmons on Power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so let me tell you, like, it's – I've only gotten really through, like, the first chapter, because just kind of like the who am I. Like, it just – it's so Gene Simmons. Like, I can hear his voice as I read it, you know. But I really didn't know – and I don't know how I've missed this over the years, but I really didn't know a lot about like his childhood before he came here, you know, because it really didn't talk about it much. Like as he gets older, he's talking about being an immigrant more than ever. But like, you know, in the 80s when I was listening to him, like, yeah, like I heard he's from Israel, but he never really talked about it. And so there's a story in the book where he's talking about, you know, he's, you know, 8 or 10 years old in Israel, and his mom's like, hey, we're going to go on a trip. And, you know, they go to this office and they're standing in a long line. And his mother, you know, it actually escaped the concentration camps in Germany. Like mm-hmm. she was, you know, that kind of thing. And she didn't speak a lot of English. She spoke Hebrew, Hungarian, some German. And there's an American soldier or somebody in an American in uniform, and you know they're trying to speak in, and I don't want to say it was Hebrew, and they're having a lot of luck because they do speak any other languages. And reluctantly she admitted she spoke German, so they start speaking in German. And then one of the things they ask her to do is they're like, well, you know, you and I'm paraphrasing here, so it's like they asked her to swear allegiance to the United States. And the last time there had ever been anything like that was when she'd been, you know, in Nazi Germany, right?
Yeah.
Or possibly, you know, wherever she was being held. But so she raised her hand like a Heil Hitler kind of thing. And the man from behind the desk quickly got up, walked around, put her hand down, smiled, and said, "You will never have to do that again. You're coming to America."
Yeah, I remember hearing that story.
That's a hell of a story, man.
Yeah,
like, wow.
It is. Yeah. Wow, that's. You know? Yeah, no, it sends shivers down your spine, you know. Just
like, yeah, oh every time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So this opening chapter has been really good. So I'm really curious to see what's going on, and I actually want to look for the previous books is put out a couple years ago, similar like format as far as like size and stuff. It was Me Inc. So yeah, check it out. But yeah, so I'm kind of reading that and. The Bruce Dickinson book will probably be after I finish that book.
So this Gene Simmons book, does it have does it have a lot of pictures in it?
No, there's no pictures at all.
No
so,
pictures at all. Not even on the back or the front. Or
so if you open up the front cover, there's a picture of him standing in front of a ton of Kiss memorabilia.
Okay, is there a photo credit?
I didn't look, and I don't have it near me.
Okay. Okay, because you'll see it's relevant to my metal fix when I get to it.
Ooh.
Look at that.
It's kind of exciting.
Well, not really, but
oh no, I'm excited.
Calm down. Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
I guess.
Is it your love gun?
That's my love gun.
I guess when you're stuck in the sticks, like just about anything will excite you. Like, dude.
Listen, if you're gonna bust on my love for Kiss, that this is when I will seriously just talk about the Load and Reload album for the next few years.
I wouldn't expect anything less at this point.
Like bands have come and gone, but Kiss was my entry into rock and roll. It was my entry into playing guitar and bass. And without Kiss,
there's no Aaron.
You know, I think I've told the story on the show. Like, you know, my experience meeting Gene Simmons and just like that, the nurturing conversation, just Kiss. It's always going to be at the core of my DNA here.
Well, your meeting was much better than mine. Mine, he looked at me, he said, "Bonjour, comment ça va? Ça va bien?" And then he signed my book, and then that was it. And then I said, "Oh yeah, it's going well. Thanks, Gene." And then I moved on to Eric Singer. But okay,
all right.
Awesome. You have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, so I'll go next, Snowy. So I've been, I worked 52 hours this week, so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I've been trying to catch up on my Josta shows. You know, I don't listen to all of them, but this week I listened to an old episode that he had Dave Mustaine on.
Okay.
It was an okay interview, I guess, you know, but I don't know if I would recommend it or not, but you know, we're talking about, you know, what he's going to do for the next album and stuff. And this was like released like September or October, you know? So
it's
an older, it's been an older episode. So there's that. And then, this other podcast I've been trying to catch up on is Three Sides of the Coin. It's a Kiss podcast with Mike Branvold. We had him on the show like years and years ago when I first joined. Because he used to be he was the original webmaster for KissOnline.com. He's the guy who started the website for Kiss. So, and he worked for Kiss for a little bit. But I used to videotapes with him back in the day in the 90s, you know. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so he's got his podcast with another guy who's a realtor up in Minnesota. And then this guy, Mark Cicchini, who's one of the biggest Kiss collectors in the world. The guy lives in Detroit. He owns a construction company, so he's got a lot of money to spend. So he's got like everything under the sun that you can think of. He probably has it. Even stuff you haven't thought of, he has them, like friggin' old contracts, you know. The contract that Kiss would have signed with a venue to go play four shows in a row, or, you know, he's got stuff like that, you know. Yeah, okay. So I bring this up because, like I said, I don't listen to every episode because usually what they do is they just talk to talk, you know, and I think they're a little too big for their own britches. They call their listeners fans, and I don't agree with that because, you know, they're not celebrities and they're not shock jock, you know, like shock jocks, like a Howard Stern. Howard Stern has fans. We have listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, mm-hmm. But the thing that is really annoying when you listen to them do an interview, because I only listen to the interviews, and like they had Larry Harris. He was one of the guys who founded Casablanca Records with Neil Bogart back in the day.
Oh wow! Oh,
wow.
Yeah, so they had him on. He has a book called "End Party All Night: The Story of Casablanca Records." So, which is a really good book, Aaron. I have the audio book. It's if you want to learn about the 70s and the music industry in the 70s and the payola and how all that stuff worked. It's a really cool book to read. But they had him on, and which was really interesting because, you know, he's talking about all this, you know, cocaine and stuff like that. And you know, it's like, yeah, because Casablanca was known to have a lot of party favors whenever they had parties.
mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah, and he's talking about
party
stuff like
favors.
That. Yeah, yeah, they called it party favors, you know. And you know, and how they all had BMWs and stuff because Neil Bogart bought a BMW to every staff member. You know, he had like 5 or 6 employees at the beginning, and he bought them all a BMW.
Wow.
You know, stuff like that. You know,
wow. And,
yeah, it's a really interesting book to get because he also talks about the disco years because Casablanca was huge on disco. So for me, that was super interesting to read about. So, but. The thing is that when you listen to these goddamn interviews that those guys do, they keep talking over the guest. Oh, it's so annoying. The guest will be trying to say something, and then that Mark Cecchini guy is like, he'll ask a question. And yeah, I'm sorry for dumping on these guys, but goddamn, they frustrate me so much. No, but they have great guests. Got people you wouldn't even think about, like this guy, Larry Harris, you know. And and they had also Christopher Williams, the drummer from Accept. Okay, the current drummer for Accept. He's a huge Kiss fan. I mean, immense Kiss fan. And so they had him on. But, you know, this Mark Cecchini guy will ask a question. But then, you know, instead of just asking a question, after he's done asking the question, he kind of picks apart his own question. He tries he elaborates even more of the question, you know. Well, you know, okay, when you're on tour with Accept, who tunes your drums? Because you know, when you're a drummer, you know, you're a professional, you don't tune your drums yourself. You know, you have somebody to do that for you. So who tunes your drums? And how often do they do it? Is it every concert? And then, God, the question is like 5 minutes long.
Let him answer the fucking question.
I know. So, but anyway, and now the part here that's relevant to my asking about the photo credits a few minutes ago. Is one of the interviews that I listened to is an interview with a photographer, Lynn, what's her name? Lynn Goldsmith. And a fantastic interview. She was a photographer in the 70s and 80s. She used to manage Grand Funk Railroad during their heyday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she's got really interesting stories, and she is funny as hell. So she just put out a book, apparently. It's pictures from 1977 to 1980. So she talks about, you know, taking pictures in concerts and taking pictures in a studio setting and, you know, and what she would do to get the guys, you know, into it and stuff like that. She also talks about other artists that she's done pictures of. But I thought it was funny because apparently Paul Stanley, I think, wrote the foreword to her book, which is rare that a book is not put out by Kiss, but a member of Kiss participates. That's really rare. They usually don't participate in stuff that they don't put out, you know. So,
wow.
But Paul Stanley,
I never really realized that.
Yeah, he wrote a foreword, and I think he also like a few captions here and there in the book. And so when she contacted the guys to ask him, hey, is it okay if I do this? And, you know, I just want your blessing and all that. And she was explaining how copyright works, you know, for pictures and stuff. And it's kind of convoluted, and I'm not going to get into it. But basically, she talked to Gene. She's on the phone with Gene, and she says, yeah, is it, you know, just I'm going to use, you know, some of the pictures I took of you guys over the years and all that. He says, well, yeah, but we got to do it with you. I say, no, you don't have to. I've put out my own books. You know, she's put out books about like Patti Smith and, you know, Patti Smith, whatever, however you pronounce her name. And, you know, books about other artists. And she said, I don't need your help. I, you know, I can do this by myself. Yeah, but, you know, it's like it's our pictures, you know, it's us on the pictures. And he said, you need to pay us, you know, some royalties. She goes, Gene, I own these pictures. I took these pictures. It's my work. I was contracted by, you know, whatever magazine to do it. I own these pictures. And I said, how about you and your pictures that you use in your books? You've used some of my pictures on your covers, on your back covers, inside, and I haven't seen a goddamn cent. So if you want to get the rights, if you want to get royalties on this, sue me. And apparently he shut up.
That's awesome.
And she had Gene Simmons over a barrel. It's the first one of those rare times where he's like, he couldn't argue. He couldn't argue. So I thought that was a great story. And the guys were just laughing their asses off. You know, the three guys interviewing her and the band. Quite a few times with this interview, I was chuckling out loud. You know, I was like, "Oh God, people are going to think I'm crazy." You know, because I'm going.
mm-hmm.
But it's a fantastic interview. If you're interested in photography, and Kiss Photography. They put out this episode on November 1st. It's in their feed on iTunes. Lynn Goldsmith discusses her book, Kiss 1970-1980.
It's
good
stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah. So I was going to ask you if you had the photo credits for some books, if you saw Lynn Goldsmith, I was like, hey, well, man, there you go. They never paid her for that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's all I have.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, geez, it's just like when you're one of those guys that just me, what money can you give me? You know, and it's like, hey, you know, sometimes it's a two-way street. I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and there's another metal one, you know, and I'm not going to name names, and I'm not too worried about it, but it's just, it's one of the so-called bigger metal podcasts, and we had like four deaths, you know, recently, and they covered two of them.
Okay.
On this podcast. Yeah, well, you know, Fast Eddie Clark passed away. Yeah, and there's one more, and I'm listening to it, and it's like, let me see. There was all those deaths. Okay, Eddie Clark. Yeah, I get that. Oh, they're going to say, oh, let me guess, the Baby Metal one. And yeah, unfortunately, the guitarist from Baby Metal. Oh, fuck. Yeah, like, it's like, oh, there's so much out there, you know, and it's just like, I was just, where we got to pat ourselves on the back for going a little bit deeper than just sticking for what's mainstream.
Not everybody's connected like you are. Not everybody's like
what to the internet?
Digging for everything. Yeah,
I'm just as connected as anyone else.
No, but you're a rare breed. You're like. I don't know, a sponge when it comes to that shit.
Okay, so Snowy, you are plugged in on a different level, but here's what I think it is, right? Here's my theory. Here's my theory, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
So here's what it is. Here's what it is. If we recall back to last week when we had those four dedications, you know, we called out that you had a lot of trouble pronouncing the word Clark, and you know, but we coached you through it, and I think what the problem was is, I mean, those were some really difficult names. They're probably like, okay, Fast Eddie Clark, we can do that one. Oh, Baby Metal Guitarist. I'm like, I can't pronounce this. I'm not even touching this. You know, I think that's, I really think that's what it was. They're not brave like you are when it comes to messing up enunciation.
Well, that's true too.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not too worried about pissing people off, I guess. Yeah.
No, not in the least. I think that's what it is. Because I remember looking at those list names going, how the hell are we supposed to pronounce any of these other than Clark? That's the only one that made sense. That's right. All we can do.
No, that's right.
You know?
It's stuff like that, though, that's like I'm hit and miss with the celebrity podcasts because sometimes I just don't, I don't want to hear their shit. You know, I want to go a little bit deeper, you know, within the people that are actually doing shit because they love it. And sometimes, you know, most of the time you got to go to shows like ours. So extra horns to us, for sure. For sure. For my metal fix, I had a couple really cool records come across my desk, but I'm going to get to those next week when I can focus a little more attention on it. Because I took in a couple cool shows this week. As you may recall, last episode I spoke about a Minnesota tech death band, Sunless, coming through town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. How was that show?
Oh, that, you know, it was a Saturday night, but I was still a little concerned that, okay, not too many, this isn't a very well-known band, and it is 45 below out, you know, like, is everyone as psychotic as I am? Okay.
No,
I don't know.
Definitely not.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I got to say hello and horns up to the Winnipeg metal scene for packing that club to see this band. Yeah. You know, Winnipeggers are definitely a hearty bunch, as I said last week. And just last night, even though the weather got better and it was a Friday night, that same club was packed once again for kind of a more unique show. It was part of up here what's called the Rock and Roulette series. And last night was 80s thrash band night. And what the Rock and Roulette series is it's when various members of different bands all kind of get together and basically jam. Well, these four bands, okay, they got together and one did Slayer, one did Creator, one did Sepultura, and one did Metallica. And it was packed. Well, I can say the M word because my existence doesn't begin and end with them.
Oh. So. Oh. Mine. We just covered that mine begins and ends with Kiss, thank you. And
with a lot of Metallica in between.
With way too much. So yeah, it was more of a social night though, like because I knew like 70 I was gonna know 75% of these packed people, like, you know, in this packed house and all that. And so basically that's what it was. I spent actually more time just talking and hanging than, you know, than checking out the bands. But I had to really focus my attention though when the quote unquote creator was on stage, because it's not, you don't see too many bands covering that stuff.
No.
All that. So yeah. So definitely a good time was had by all. The Gods of Violence, speaking of Creator, the Gods of Violence CD, the physical copy has a DVD of their appearance at Wacken 2014. Mm-hmm. And I slapped that on. Like, I've had this record for a while. I finally got around to that DVD this week, and it's pretty sweet, okay? And it's one of those CDs, one of those DVDs that you can also just put on in the background. Like, you don't have to be watching it as well. Like, you can just treat it like a live album, which I guess you can do with a lot of DVDs, you know. So I probably think that's how I'm going to do that. And finally, I just want to throw this out to you. Earlier tonight, I was checking out the new promo video from Benighted's for their song Leatherface from their new Necrobreed record. And this record, it came out in 2017. It was actually one of the highlights of the year. We've had Benighted on, and we will have them on again. I just want to say, okay, guys, as creepy as this video can be, it's very easy on the eyes, shall we say. Okay,
what?
let's just leave it like that. Okay.
Okay. It just sounds wrong on a lot of levels.
Okay, well, check this video out and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But more importantly, more importantly, what you will want to check out though is Minneapolis Tech Death's Sunless from their Europa album. This is Obsidian Wing.
Right.
So, Aaron, are you ready to rock?
I'm ready to Aaron if you're ready to rock.
Snowy,
are you ready to ball?
Snowy, are you ready to Snowy? That's not even funny.
Yeah. No, but everybody is always ready for Snowy, though.
There's just
not enough vitamin Snowy in everyone's diet. And all that. Let's put it that way.
Let's leave it at that.
2018 is off and running in terms of the metal. And one of the things that I'm looking forward to in the first, I don't know, the first maybe third of this year, although there's, you know what, there are so many wicked albums coming out just in the next little while. One of them is the new Harm's Way record, Posthuman, out on Metal Blade, which is going to be available February 9th coming up. And I say out on Metal Blade because, you know, this band is no stranger to this show. We've had Harm's Way. We've talked to drummer Chris Mills in the past when they came through town. And they're a predominantly hardcore band. And me being that, you know, that I love all forms of aggressive music, both metal and hardcore. And I thought this to be rather interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was getting pretty excited about it. So I had to get Harm's Way on the horn and get their take on everything that's going on, because I definitely thought there was a really cool story here. I was expecting on the other end to be speaking once again to Mr. Mills, who is actually their drummer and their main spokesperson. What a pleasant surprise it was when Mr. James Paligi, their vocalist, picked up the phone. And that was one of those situations where I'm ready for one member and then another one unexpectedly picks up the phone and you're like, you're still excited because we haven't met James yet. Haven't had him on the show. Haven't done nothing. Okay. But I'm looking at my questions now and it's like, these are all geared towards Mr. Mills here. And all
yeah,
that.
It throws
like,
you oh, off. Okay. Yeah.
It does. And it's like, if I do this, I do this. Well, actually, you know what? I think Mr. Paligi will be more than capable of answering all of these. And he stepped up. He stepped up and he gave us a fantastic chat. To get us there, though, how about a track from that anticipatingly awesome new record, Posthuman? This is Harm's Way with Human Carrying Capacity. We'll be right back.
First and foremost, what I think that we should start off with is that Harm's Way has a new record coming out very soon, dropping February 9th, called Posthuman. You must be psyched about it.
Yeah, you know what? We've been really excited for, like, since August after we recorded it. It's one of the hardest parts of recording a record is you still have to wait like 6 months before it comes out officially. So
right.
we're pretty happy that time is coming soon, and we're very excited for it.
Right on, right on, as are we here. We have had Harm's Way on in the past when you guys were supporting your last record, Rust, and you came through town. We had Chris, your bandmate, on. So you guys will be no stranger to this show. With that said, we were pushing the Rust record back then, and now we're pushing the new one here. Is there any sort of a departure, shall we say, from the last record? What can Veteran Harm's Way fans expect in terms of this?
I would say that the new record is pretty different from Rust. It definitely it kind of take some of the old aspects of Harm's Way, like back from our earlier record, Isolation, and kind of puts a modern twist on it. I think that it's a lot heavier. There's a lot more parts that are faster, I would say. Like, there's definitely a lot more electronic elements that we added to this new record. And then on top of that, I think there's a couple of unique songs that we kind of never had anything like that before, that I think people will find pretty cool and interesting. So,
right on, right on. And for anyone that's perhaps tuning into you the first time, I always, you know, I kind of see Harm's Way as predominantly a hardcore band. Is that kind of what you would what would their just? With the aggression and the heaviness and all that, do you think that's enough? Because the majority of our listeners will be like brutal metal fans, and I'm hoping that you'll have something for them for this new record.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's always tough to kind of put Harm's Way into a specific genre. I would say that we have a lot more metal influences than what would be considered traditional hardcore influences. Okay. However, I think our attitude and the way we carry ourselves is more closely related to a hardcore band. However, I think this new record, it would be very hard to call it just a hardcore album. So I think it's pretty safe to say that it's a record that has a lot of metal influences. I would say if hardcore wasn't a thing, if they didn't know that we came from hardcore, then I think people would definitely call it like a metal record. So I think it's kind of tough to, once someone defines you as something, that's what kind of sticks in their head. So
right.
I think it'll be hard for people who already know about us to say, oh, no, this is still hardcore. But I definitely think there's a lot of different metal influences on this new record, and I would say it's definitely more closely related to metal as far as musically.
Hey, it's all good here. It's all good here, which kind of brings me to my next question, since we're talking about this. I believe this is your debut record with Metal Blade.
Yes.
You got to be excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. We are definitely really excited. Obviously, when you start a band, you never really think you're going to make it to a level where you'll be on something that's considered a major label. And one of the coolest things about Metal Blade, in my opinion, is that it's still an independent label. They do all their things themselves. They're not owned by, like, Sony or Warner Brothers. So as far as, like, my morals go and music, I still feel I'm proud and safe to say that we're on Metal Blade. Even though it's a bigger label, it still has a lot of DIY aspects, and I think that's one of the coolest things about it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Were you a fan of the label going in like any of the artists as you were growing up?
I think one of the, obviously the most recognizable artists that Metal Blade had ever signed was Metallica. You know, the first Metallica record was on Metal Blade. And obviously, everyone in Harm's Way loves Metallica. So that was kind of like the first thought. And I've always been a fan of King Diamond as well. And that's pretty cool. And I may be wrong, but I think some the latest, or I guess the most recent Bolt Thrower record is on Metal Blade as well, which is also a band that we always looked up to. So I think just those three alone, those speak for themselves as far as a legendary artist and something to be excited about when a label asks you to be a part of that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm actually old enough to remember those first couple of releases when Metal Blade first came out. So when I heard that you guys were signing onto them, it's like, that's fantastic. But then I was starting to think, well, you know, like a lot of your fan base might, and it's not so much now, but like when I was a teenager in the mid 80s, there was a lot of punk/hardcore and metal segregation. There's not so much of that now. So are you getting any backlash like from veteran Harm's Way fans, like, how could you sign with them?
You know what? I haven't seen anything or heard anything, but I mean, I'm sure that there's definitely people that may feel that way. But I also think a lot of people who do feel that way don't really understand that in order to progress as a band, as you get older, it's important that you still remain, you know, rooted in where you came from, rooted in like the morals that you've created as a band. But at the same time, it's important that you move on. And I don't mean move on from hardcore, but I mean move forward as far as, you know, if you make the same record that sounds the same and you're on the same label, that shows me that there's not much growth as a band, and that would be boring to me. So everyone in Harm's Way, you know, we like a lot of different genres of music, and we definitely like the idea of growing as a band, and Metal Blade was that next step for us. And on top of that, you know, if we wanted to make a career out of the band and do something that we love to be part of our everyday life, it's important that we have to set ourselves up so that we can survive and make enough money so that, you know, we can tour and continue to do what we do. So I guess
definitely.
At the end of the day, you know, I would say maybe 5 or 10% of people may have an issue with it, but the majority has all been positive and a lot of praise for moving to Metal Blade.
Yeah. Especially around here. I'm really excited for you guys. That's fantastic. How did it come about, without getting into too much behind the scenes? Like, did Metal Blade come to you guys just through your reputation, or did your manager call up Brian and say, hey, man, you got to check out Harm's Way?
You know, it's actually a pretty funny story.
Oh, good.
So, if you're familiar with the show Chopped,
No.
All right, so it's a food show that's on the Food Network in America. You probably have it. It's a show where judges will judge meals on different cooks. It's very popular. There's a guy on there who was named Chris Santos. It was one of the judges. He is a fan of metal and hardcore music. And Brian Slagle and him are actually good friends. So one day that they were sharing an Uber ride, and Chris Santos in the Uber ride said, hey, check out this band, Harm's Way. Here's their newest record, Rust. They put the CD on. on the way to the airport as they were sharing an Uber, and that's what kind of put us on the radar for Brian. And then I guess that's kind of where it started. And then we met with Metal Blade a few times, and we came to an agreement, and then that's how we got on the label. But it's kind of a funny story. It would be funny if you knew who Chris Santos was, but he's like a famous chef in America.
Oh, okay.
He owns like restaurants in Las Vegas and New York, and that's the story that was told to us. So
right on. And this Mr. Santos, he's a legit metalhead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't obviously know him personally, but from what I know, he's definitely into metal music and hardcore music. So,
oh, that's pretty fantastic. Yeah, because we're always looking for, yeah, we love doing band interviews, but we're also looking for people that do other things but are metal fans.
Sure.
You know, like actors and comedians and authors and, you know, janitors, whatever, you know, like.
Of course, yeah.
I think maybe we'll get a hold of Mr. Santos, see if he wants to come on.
If you have a minute, just search him on the internet, because I'm sure you'll find a bunch of stuff about him. So,
right on. I'm going to. Have you told that story to any other press yet?
No, I have. I have not.
Yes. Okay. Hold off. we want the scoop. We want the scoop here.
Sure.
No. With this record, you guys tapped Will Putney to produce.
Yep.
Right. How did that come about? Is this just a dude that you know and what he's all about, or did Metal Blade recommend him, or?
So basically, Will Putney had worked with a few bands that we had gone on tour with back in February, Knock Loose and Every Time I Die. And Will has also been involved in hardcore metal for a long time, and he was a fan of Harm's Way. So basically, those guys kind of linked him up to us, and we basically had a discussion. He was a longtime fan of Harm's Way. He basically, from what we knew about the other opinions about his recording style, he was able to adapt to what those bands wanted. We weren't necessarily a fan of some of the other work that he's done as far as the music, but we knew that if he knew our material and he knew what we were going for, that he was probably the best choice. And I can say that I can't be any happier. Like the record sounds it's better than I had ever imagined. I mean, it's just a mixture of raw and produced, and that was exactly what we wanted. And we recorded for 17 days straight. That was the first time we were ever able to be in the studio for the whole period of time that we were recording without any time in between. And I think that's obviously the best way to record, because, you know, we basically treated it as a job. You know, we woke up every day, started, we spent 8 hours on it, and then we stopped, and it was on repeat. And that was, in my opinion, the best recording experience. And like I said, I don't think anyone expected it to sound this good, and it went above our expectations.
Right on. Yeah, really looking forward to it. So when the record is out, you're going to be hitting the road. Where is this going to be taking you? Like, do you have a kind of a ballpark idea where the road's going to be taking you guys?
So when the record will be out February 9th, we actually leave for a tour on February 17th. It's a full U.S. tour, aside from the Northwest, because the Northwest is pretty hard to get to in the wintertime. So I think that one is going to be going all around. I think we only have one Canadian date in Toronto, but we're going to be going to the East Coast, down to Florida, you know, through Texas to California, back through Colorado and through the Midwest and back home to Chicago. So that's kind of the routing for that. It's about a month long. And from there, we're working on a couple of things currently. We're working on something for Mexico, working on something for Europe, and then we're working on a summer tour that we don't have the full details on all those things yet, but those are just some things we'll be working on for 2018.
Right on. Well, hopefully, you know, you guys can make your way back up here. I'd love to see you guys again. But I will say, I'm not so much nervous, but with this tour, though, that you've got coming up across the U.S., I believe Ringworm are direct support to you guys?
Yep.
Okay. that's quite the act to follow every night. Do you think you're up to the challenge?
Sure. You know, that's one of those things where Ringworm has been a large influence in our band for years, and we've always loved Ringworm. It just happened to be that, you know, this was going to be our debut tour for the record, and we needed to do a headline tour. I mean, obviously, Ringworm, you know, they may be able to headline over us, obviously, but it's just something that we worked out, and I think it'll be a really cool package to see, regardless of the order of the band. So, I think, you know, following them will always be hard because of the legendary band that they are, but we're just excited to be on tour with them, Vane, and Queensway. So,
Queensway, that's another band that I haven't heard a lot, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about them. Like, they're really killing it.
Yeah. They're just a pretty heavy band, and I think it's a really good add to the package for sure.
Right on. Well, I hope you certainly have a good time with it. I had a couple other, like, maybe just some questions directed towards you. You're straight edge?
Yes.
How difficult is that to maintain, like, on the road? Because sometimes you're not always, I guess straight edge is, you're always around what, you know, straight edge would be against, the drugs, the alcohol, anything that you would put in within straight edge. Is that a challenge, or is it like, oh, I've got this?
I mean, it's just, at this point, I've been straight edge since I was 15, so over 17 years. So it's not really something I ever think about, to be honest. It's just a choice I made, and it's something that I've continued to believe and think is the best thing for myself. I don't really care if other people smoke or drink or do drugs. That's not really what it's about for me. So therefore, it's not really anything I think about. It's just not something I do. I mean, obviously a lot of metal bands, I mean, they obviously smoke weed and drink alcohol, and that's just part of their routine, and that's just part of, you know, a lot of music culture in general, but it's not really something that me or any of the other members who are straight edge think about. So it's, at this point, it's just my everyday life. It's not even something I even think about. So
okay, right on. But there's something I'm kind of curious about, because I always felt that, okay, there's more to it than just not drinking, not doing drugs, not having cigarettes or anything. It's just, it's something that you have to identify with yourself, because my grandmother never did all that, you know?
Of course, yeah.
So, like, would she be considered straight edge? I think it's something that you have to, I don't like the word label, but I think it's something that you have to put on yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
am I, you know?
I mean, in my opinion, you know, straight edge, obviously there's a difference between being like drug free or clean or sober and being straight edge. Straight edge to me is identifying yourself as being a part of a movement that stands against using drugs and alcohol. And when I say stand against, I mean, as a culture, in, you know, it's pretty socially acceptable to drink alcohol, do drugs, and be a part of that in order to be social. And it's, you know, if we're as the punk background that we are, it's kind of a stand against those things. And for me, it's about, I don't need those things in my life to experience life. And I don't want those things to cover up, you know, the negative, such as pain, deaths, you know, breakups, et cetera. You know, I think that that's important to feel those things because those are part of the experiences of life. So obviously people can say they're drug free, but calling yourself straight edge is a specific thing, a part of a movement that is against what society's telling you to do, you know, or in order to be social or in order to fit in, that you have to do these types of things. That was what it was kind of for me. A lot of other people who are straight edge, well, there's some political aspects, you know, it's just taking a stand against alcohol companies that fuel these addictions. And there's other things like that. It was, for me, it was never so much about that. But, you know, usually these people who are calling themselves straight edge were involved in hardcore or are currently involved in hardcore. So not to say that you can't call yourself straight edge and not be a part of that, but that's where straight edge is rooted from. And part of the scene of hardcore was kind of using straight edge as stand against society, essentially. And that's where it came from. And personally, I think for me, it's the best way to live my life to this day. And if I thought any different, I would no longer take that label. So maybe that kind of makes it a little bit more, or hopefully maybe you understand a little bit more, but.
Yeah, I just wanted your take on that because, yeah, like I've had like Joe and Jane Average say, oh, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. Well, I don't think you're straight edge, though. You know, I think there's a little more to it. As the singer, though, and I've often thought about this as I've seen straight edge bands, and you know how sometimes fans jump on the stage and you give them the mic to sing a line or whatever, and you know, and like what goes through your head when you smell the beer on their breath? Does that mean anything to you? Like, I'm kind of being tongue in cheek here, but like, what?
Sure.
You know,
I mean, like I said, it's not like at this point in my life, it's not something that I really think about. It's just a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't really care if other people, do drugs or do alcohol, because it's not about them,
right?
It's about me and my experiences and what's best for me. So, you know, there's going to be people that do those things in your everyday life, and it would be pretty ridiculous if you got angry or
right,
kind of isolated yourself from people who to any form of drugs or alcohol. I mean, you'd pretty much be in a place of, you know, the 150 to 1,000 straight edge kids that are in America and around the world. You know what I mean?
Right. For sure, for sure. And finally, I was actually kind of anticipating speaking to Chris, your drummer, and the last time we did, the last time I spoke to him, we had a quick chat about yourself, actually, because it's like, man, you're Sigurd James. He looks like he's a beast. He looks like he's got it, like you're in shape. It looks like you're no stranger to the gym. You should be a pro wrestler or an ultimate fighter and all that. And I wanted to ask Chris, like, man, is James still a beast, man? Does he still look like he could, like, you know, out of everyone in the metal world and the hardcore world, I don't think there's too many people that could kick my ass. I'm pretty sure Chris Jericho is one. You know, I'm sure from Every Time I Die, who's also a pro wrestler. Sorry, his name escapes me right now.
And Andy Williams, yeah.
Andy Williams, right, thank you. Those two, Brody King is also another pro wrestler and all that. And James from Harm's Way, I'm pretty sure if that individual wanted to be a pro wrestler, a UFC fighter, I'm sure you would fit in with that. Am I way out in left field here, or am I pretty close? Do you see yourself maybe being able to do that?
I mean, throughout my whole life, I've been involved in sports, and I've predominantly been involved in powerlifting and lifting weights, since I was 15 or 16. I've done some, martial arts, until recently. I had been doing Kenpo karate, which I did for about 6.5 years from, about 23, age 23, 24 to last year. Yeah. So 31. So about 6.5 years. And so I've had my fair share of those experiences. As far as like competing, I do occasionally compete in powerlifting. I'm 32 now, so I'm not really looking for a career in the UFC at this point, but, you know, I always like, experiencing all those things. I think those are really good ways, healthy ways to, you know, get out any anxiety or depression or anger. And that, in my opinion, that always went kind of hand in hand with music for me, was doing, competing in sports. I just thought that those were always healthy ways to kind of deal with your personal issues. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely will probably do a lot of different things probably in the next eight to 10 years, as far as maybe trying some different martial arts, maybe moving on to some different sports. You know, hopefully I maintain lifting as well. So.
Right on, right on. But what I can recall and remember, I think you're probably well on your way to that. Thank you so much.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You guys suck, 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 suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
All right. Thank you to everyone involved with that fantastic chat. February 9th, get your butts to the record store and pick up the new Harm's Way record, Posthuman. I know that's where I'm going to be as soon as the doors open.
Snowy, I just have to thank you for putting yourself in harm's way to get that interview.
I couldn't. Sometimes, maybe not necessarily I'm in harm's way, but sometimes just we got to jump through hoops and all that, and we have to accommodate the artists and just do interviews and just bizarre places and at piss poor times. And, you know, can we do it after the show at 2 a.m? And it's like, I've had to tell at least one band that, no, that's too late. I can either interview you or end up walking home at 2 a.m. You know, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, Harm's Way has been more than accommodating and deserves everyone's attention. Speaking of attention, sometimes, you know, the metal world, you know, gets some negative attention, stuff that I don't want ever brought out. First and foremost, before it's kind of more on the lighter side of that, have you guys seen the poster for the Lords of Chaos movie? Biography movie based on the book. Have you guys seen that yet?
As a matter of fact, just today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Weird.
Oh. Strange.
Cool. Yeah. See, I'm really looking forward to this movie coming out, but which is, of course, based on the Lords of Chaos, the book that we've talked about on this show.
So tell me, is this like a documentary, or is this like going to be acted out by actors?
It's a biopic. It's a biopic. Okay. Rory Culkin and Sky Ferreira are starring in it.
Who?
So yeah, they're actors.
Okay, actors I don't know, obviously.
I guess not. And it's actually going to be debuting at the Sundance Film Festival soon.
Cool.
And all that. And in some ways, it's kind of cool, but I'm one of those guys that like to keep our dirty laundry, and by that I mean metal's dirty laundry, to ourselves. I don't know if I want all the early 90s Norway bullshit getting out to the mainstream consciousness. You know, but another part of me actually is very curious to see this movie. So I'm kind of on the fence. I think I'll get to it.
I told you that I have the book, right?
Yeah.
I got that years ago. I got a used copy years ago. It's a hard read. Not very fun to read. There's especially when I read it, I was not very versed in black metal. I never really was, because I'm not a huge fan of black metal. So a lot of people that were talking about it, I was like, I have no idea who they're talking about. So I was kind of detached from it. So it was a very, very dry book because of that. So, but you know, it was interesting, I guess, you know, for all the stories that were in there about, you know, the feuds between Euronymous and Varg and all that stuff. So. I'm curious to see the movie.
Yeah, looking looking forward to it. I'm kind of tongue-tied, kind of at a loss for words here, because this is kind of bothering me that it just came out that former Black Label Society guitarist Nick Cantney's.
Yeah, Nick Cantney's.
Oh my God! Just what's been going on in that area? He's been found guilty of sending like sexually explicit pictures to a 14-year-old girl.
Yep.
And then wanting her to like return the favor, shall we say? And I'm like, it just goes to show, like, with everything that when Rose McGowan broke the whole thing out with the whole Weinstein case, it's been one case after another and after another and another. And it just, I guess this shit finally came to Fun World.
Yeah.
As I called. And it's,
there's always a bad apple to spoil the bunch.
It's actually extra terrible because, The girl was a student at that. He was an instructor at the School of Rock in Castle Shannon, Pennsylvania. You're originally up from that area.
Yeah, from the Pittsburgh area.
That's around the Pittsburgh area. Yeah. And so, like, he's basically a teacher.
Yep.
In a position of authority, and throughout all of this, I think all he's getting is 5 years probation. He's basically walking from this. And I just, like what the hell? Like, what goes through, like, dude, like, he's what, in his pushing 50, I guess.
He's 46, according to the article.
Like, does he honestly think that a 14-year-old girl is going to have absolutely any interest in him at all? Like, she must, like, this kid must just look at him and go, like, he's an old man.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, what the hell goes through his mind? Like, this is a child. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's
nothing to say, really. I mean, it's appalling, and it's sad. It's, you know, it's disgusting. It's every bad word you can think of.
We're all parents of girls.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, this really hits home. You know, cause, I mean, like, I think I've said before, like, my kids go to a Catholic school, and to participate in those sorts of things, I have to go through these workshops on protecting the children, and it's some terrible things that you have to witness and go through, but to be aware of warning signs and things, and it's just, man, you know, because I mean, somebody in our community, like, that you would have never been like, oh yeah, sure, that could happen, but no, you know,
yeah.
So we just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, a shame.
It is. It really is. It really is. But before we get on out of here, which I know we're kind of going into extra innings, I do want to go out on a high note. Merriam-Webster. Okay. In their Merriam-Webster's dictionary, they are considering adding metal as an adjective. You gotta now we're talking. That.
That's metal. Oh,
that is so metal.
That's because we use that all the time. Just,
oh yeah.
Not only on this show, but just in our usual life. And I guess it's just kind of got to the point now where, like, they have to acknowledge it.
So how does that work? Does somebody submit it or what? How does that work?
I
consider it, because that's weird.
I don't know. I guess it just once someone in the decision making process realizes that, okay, this is actually being used now more and more, and so we'd better put it up for consideration and all that. So yeah, I kind of hope it goes through.
We're gonna find out that whoever put it through is a metalhead that works for Merriam-Webster.
Wouldn't that be sweet? Yeah. Wouldn't that be sweet? Be cool. Yeah. Well, see, that's the type of person. That's the sort of unique guest that I'm always looking.
Oh yeah, somebody who works for Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, someone that works there. You know, that got that pushed through, like, good on you.
Yeah, we need to pay attention and to see what we can dig up. that'd be a very interesting talk.
Oh, it would. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. What are we going to go out on before we give all our plugs and get on out of here?
Well, in honor of our guest, Harm's Way, when you told me that's who we had this week, you know, as our creature feature, the first thing I thought of is a song by Metal Church called In Harm's Way.
Oh. So,
let's go out on that.
I think the band would really appreciate that as well. How can people get a hold of us and all the good stuff?
Well, you got facebook.com/radmetal if you want to follow us and use our Amazon code for when you do make your purchases at Amazon US. It's pinned to the top of the page. You can find us on Twitter at radmetal666. You can find us on Instagram also at radmetal666. And we've got our website, where we sell beautiful t-shirts, and that's radioactivemetal.org. And you will find there about a little over 100 of our, well, 100 latest episodes and a few special episodes here and there. And also some concert photos and pictures of our beautiful mugs. If you want to see what we look like, but I don't recommend it, but yeah. except for Corrine, you know, if you want to
see. Except for Corrine, yeah, come on.
If you want to see Corrine with her husband, Glenn Benton, you know.
That is our favorite photo.
It is.
Family photos are the best.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we have the picture of the three of us in front of Hogwarts?
I know.
We should put that one up on the side.
Yes, I know. I've been wanting to, and I just keep forgetting to do it. But yeah, that is a goal to eventually have it there.
All right, 2018 goals. There we go.
There we go.
Yes, yes.
There we go. And Radioactive Metal is a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network. Check us out, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There's ourselves, there's the Shining Wizards podcast, and a whole myriad of other pro wrestling, pop culture, lifestyle, everything that you could possibly want. And that whole network has been keeping me entertained for over 4 years now. So, yeah, I'm still stoked, and it's still kind of surreal for me to be a part of it. So check it out. And, of course, Rock, you mentioned T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy one, okay, set us up with some digits, some way to get a hold of you, the purchaser, and Karina or I will be more than happy to give you a shout just to thank you. We really appreciate it. So, yeah. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Harmful to Normies episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Oh,
us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org or clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We will play it on the show. For suggestions and indie spotlight submissions, email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and Instagram Radioactive Metal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal, this, it's radioactive metal.